Simon Chama is with us here on the Paula Gordon Show. When I knew that this was going to happen, I not only went to my neighbors and got as many of the books that you have written as I could and just stood there in awe. I also went to the New Yorker, which to me is, that's my newspaper, and I pulled up Simon Chama, and it had you in fine arts, it had you in political theory, it had you in travel, it had you in bylines for around town.
Right.
And I thought
recipes. Don't forget recipes
and recipes. And I thought Simon Chama has taken the world, applied a wonderful education, has learned things, and then wants to share them. It's as if you embody what a really fine education is about, both getting it and then taking it into the world.
Shucks. Well, that's incredibly kind of you. I wish I could feel quite that saintly. I do love teaching, actually. As you suggest, my life is very busy because I do a lot of television now, and I care about the finished products. I'm a pest. I edit and I dub and stuff like that.
And you write like an angel, by the way.
It's very nice of you to say that. But what it means is, but I make sure I do still teach at Columbia, and I love teaching undergraduates especially. Like you too, graduates, any graduates out there. But undergraduates are wonderful because they're fearless and they work. Their dirty little secret is they work incredibly hard, most of them.
Well, at Columbia has a very specific requirement of them that they're going to the classics.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. So I was going to say, so of course I do love teaching. I'd miss it, but not to kind of rub out this premature halo that you've deposited on me, which I certainly won't be churlish enough to refuse. I have to say that it's from sort of a kind of incontinent exuberance, you know, really, that I just really am a greedy person, basically. That there are all these things, you know, one has the delight of reading and the delight of writing, and you sort of can't help but doing it in some way. At least I'm the sort of writer, it's sort of a literary equivalent of just being an awful loudmouth or something, you know. I just actually do sort of want to emit observations I might have or jokes I might have, or it's a way of both, I think, educating and also trying to give pleasure. It's as sort of naive as that, I think, really.
Well, I will offer you a better, from my perspective, a better alternative. You are so respectful of our most fundamental tool as humans, which is language. You are so careful as you write it. You are so careful with the tool and the tool as it turns toward something, whether you're talking about Rembrandt or showing me the art or dealing with the BBC or whatever. There is this sense that you are just immensely proud of this tool we have, and you want to share it.
I do think we are a language animal. That's quite right. And I caught that from my old dad, really, actually, who was sort of a hopeless businessman. Because he was sort of should have gone to the theatre. That's what he wanted to do. And his father said to him, "If you do that, do not darken my doorway." And he did. He gave up theatre, except as a rather brilliant amateur producer. But he absolutely was, as he just barely had a high school education, but he read Dickens out loud to my sister and myself when we were quite small. It was actually quite scary because actually when he did go broke, which he did quite often, my mother would shout at him, "We're going to the workhouse," meaning it's a figure of speech. But since we just only had Oliver Twist 3 weeks ago, it wasn't a figure of speech. I remember going to my dad saying, "Well, Dad, what is gruel?" You know, actually, I was really frightened by
getting ready.
But my dad's idea of, you know, a kind of elementary school, I was about 8 when I did this sort of concert performance, was Henry V's speech before Harfleur. My mother was, I remember looking into the audience, and my father was, when I did, "Once more to the breach, dear friends, once more, we'll close the walls up with our English dead. In peace, then nothing said becomes a man as modest stools." And my father was very happy about me doing this. My mother, I could see, was just red with mortified embarrassment, actually. So my dad, I blame it on me. He'd be very touched to hear you say what you did, because he wanted me to be a kind of... Well, he actually said, "A Jew's only weapon is his mouth." And my dad had actually been one of those street orators in the 30s who actually stood up to Mosley's black shirts. Wow. And no matter how much, and he was actually quite useful with his fists as well, my father, but basically he regarded getting in a fight as a defeat and would always try and orate them into retreat. Not sure it worked. But that's what he believed, and he's passed that on.
And a gift it has been to us all. We thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Rough Crossings is a riveting and smart adventure story. It's also full of perspectives and facts critical to understanding America's past, present, and future. We thank Simon Sciamma for offering the wider world some of what he has learned about this and so much more. We also thank him for the great pleasure of welcoming him to our program. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.